Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
This is John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking. It's the phenomenal AJ Styles.
And Jerry Rosa.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer from Austin, Tampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Let me tell you a little secret. Detroit is a football town, but don't just take it from me.
Thanks, Barry. Detroit picked me.
Detroit picked me. Detroit picked me!
This city embodies everything I bring to my job. Energy, passion, and grit. Detroit picked me.
Detroit picked me. I picked Detroit.
I picked Detroit.
Detroit picked me.
Detroit.
Having the NFL draft in Detroit is going to be great because they're going to get to see a fan base that's going to embrace the NFL draft like no one ever has.
I picked Detroit.
No, wait a minute. Detroit picked me.
The pick is in.
The pick is in.
The pick is in.
The pick is in.
Believe me now, the pick is Detroit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live here. I almost said WrestleCast, SportsCast Radio. And personally, guys, the pick is not here because I went to pick Detroit for the draft. But that's beside the point.
I would know.
I'm just saying. That's why we're gonna be going and kicking it there, and now we're just gonna go and be kicking it at a luxurious giant ass cabin while we watch the draft and do potentially live radio from there.
What's going on? What are we doing?
When we go to the cabin for the draft?
The cabin? What?
Elijah ain't going, I guess. It's just me and you and Luke.
I've been telling you that for days. It's just gonna be me and Ryan showing up there alone.
I'm just kidding. I'm going.
Hell yeah, you are. It's funny as hell. We're gonna be going crazy. We may see a fist fight break out depending if Bo Nix gets drafted by the Vikings, which could be really tight.
Kyle, if you're listening, you about to catch these hands, dog.
Is Luke gonna step up to Kyle like the Miz's dad?
I don't Hell have yeah. to step up to Kyle. Kyle's got to step up to me. I'm like 2 feet taller than Kyle.
He's going to step up to Punchy.
Yeah. Kyle's going to have to jump to throw a punch.
And then just as we're going to book the fight, Elijah, you know what's going to happen?
What?
Oh, fuck!
Aram.
Bob Arum's going to come in and ask for too much money. And we're never going to get the fight. Fuck Bob Arum. By the way, I know we don't have a ton of time here. We're gonna be getting into three guests tonight, which is gonna rock. Anthony Joshua, by the way, knocked the hell out of Francis Ngannou. So finally,
oh my God,
Joshua! I've been waiting to see Anthony Joshua do that for a couple of years now. So kudos to him. We need to get a good boxing show in, Elijah. Maybe we do one during the week or something, just an hour or something. But I now am like, okay, now I want him to see, I want him to fight Joseph Parker and the winner to fight Usyk Fury winner. Is that fair?
That's fair.
I think after Parker, didn't he just beat Zhang Jili and he got dropped twice but still beat him?
Yeah, he got dropped twice and just kind of came back and outboxed him. And then obviously he beat the mess out of Fury or Wilder.
Yeah, we talked about that on here too. Put him down.
So like,
we got to get boxing going one day, but we got but 10
then,
minutes.
Now Canelo. Now Canelo's like, I'm just gonna fight Munguia.
And then in September he might fight Berlanga next. Now too. Ugh,
great. Good job, Canelo.
So, as we said we were going to. Good job, Canelo. You know what? You get this shit right here.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, we said we're going to come to you with Mock Draft 2.0. I think we should try to just start now, rush through maybe our first 10 picks before we get our first guest, Parker Hurley from Bear Goggles On, to come talk some Bears, because they're in this top 10. So I think it'd be worth knocking these out. I don't think we really need to get into too much depth with it. I say let's just kind of spit these off, and if there's anything that we really need to discuss, we can do it after the 10.
Okay.
Do we want to just go picks 1 through 10, and then we pass, and then just kind of ballpark everything, or do we want to go each one at a time?
I want you to choose.
Doesn't matter to me. What do we got? We got like 10 minutes.
So I went Caleb Williams 1. Does anyone disagree with that?
Nope, I have Caleb Williams 1.
Yep, Elijah. Caleb Williams 1. Yeah.
Do you guys both have Jaden Daniels at 2?
I do.
Yep.
Okay, so first 2 is this. Now, this is where I think it does get interesting, because I know Elijah has some things, and I know Luke has some ideas. So I'll just drop mine first. Luke, you go second. Elijah can go third here as we've been going. I got Drake May going 3rd to the Patriots.
I've heard Marvin Harrison going 3rd to the Patriots.
I have Drake May going 3rd to the Patriots, too.
Sorry, quick question. I know we're in a hurry. Do you guys only have Drake May going 3 so the Vikings don't get a bye?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay, so it's like a biased reason he's there.
Well,
okay,
I mean, the Patriots could trick everybody, though, because they don't really have a quarterback. Who do they got? Bailey Zappi?
Nope, they signed Jacoby Brissett for free agency, which isn't, great, but
Jabroni
he knows
Brissett?
The system. Yeah, man, he's, the best bridge QB in the league.
Was he like Darren Sharper? I was talking about because of the Greg Jennings thing.
Oh, Greg Jennings. Man, Darren Sharper should never get mentioned ever again.
That's fair. That's fair. I got Cardinals at 4 taking Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, especially since they got rid of Rondell. They traded Rondell Moore away, so yeah, that makes sense. Me too.
I have Malik Nabers.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So here's my first trade of the day. And before anybody kills me on these trades, I have backed up stats from the last 2 years of the trade logic makes sense, whether it sucks or not. But I had Minnesota trading 11-42 in next year's first for number 5 and taking McCarthy.
Gotcha. I have a trade, too, with the Vikings. I have, though, 11-23 and 4th for pick 5 to get Drake May.
And now, mind you, I did this a week. I did mine, last Thursday, so that none of the trades had gone through.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I don't want the Vikings to trade, so I'm going to say that the Chargers take J.J. McCarthy.
What?
Just I'm salty. I don't want the Vikings to take J.J. McCarthy.
Did you not do your homework and do your mock draft?
No, I did, but after today. after today.
What did you have before today?
I had them taking Joe Alt before today.
All right, there we go. Joe Alt to the Chargers. Number 6, I have Malik Nabers going to the Giants. I have Joe Alt. Joe Alt.
Okay. I have the Giants taking Rome Odunze. They need a weapon. Why not get the 3rd best one, I guess?
What do you got the Giants doing?
Malik Nabers here.
Malik Nabers. At 7, I have the Titans taking Amarius Mims.
I have the Titans taking Joe Alt.
I have the Titans take, what's-his-face, Penn State tackle.
Olu Fashanu. Got you, bro.
Especially after they signed Ridley.
At number 8, I had the Falcons taking Malik Nabers. falling to them.
I have the Falcons taking Dallas Turner.
Nice.
I have Falcons taking Dallas Turner as well.
And then at 9, I had Roma Dunze to the Bears.
I have late 2, lot 2.
Roma Dunze.
Who do you got, Elijah?
Oh, Roma Dunze.
Okay. And then at 10, I had Talisi Fuaga going to the Jets.
I have Olu Fashanu here. That's my boy.
I have Fuaga, Fuagu, Fuaga going to the Jets.
You sound like it's an NXT wrestler.
Right?
Fuaga,
I feel like Triple H is in charge of naming these people.
I still love how Kyle's in the Discord. He texts us. He texts me how he's laughing and dying. How we stopped watching WWE NXT to turn on soft ground Ugandan wrestling.
That's right, brother.
And it was the shit, by the way. Elijah, they had a ladder match, but there was no ladder. It was just a straight bamboo pole.
Oh,
wow.
It looks like my mock draft for next time is going to change because the New York Jets have just signed left tackle Tyron Smith.
Wow. That's top tackle at the board then, right?
Yeah, and then they still have Mekhi Becton and that other one too.
Isn't Tyron Smith kind of like?
He's 32. He's older, but I think he's still rated as a top 5 tackle last year.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought he was kind of on the down, but I don't know too much about the. I don't pay attention to the Cowboys, unfortunately.
Well, you better study up because Cowboys are on next week. Spoiler alert.
Man, fuck the Cowboys.
Damn, you better calm down, bro.
Are they them boys this? Are they going to be them boys this year?
Absolutely not. Did Ryan die? Ryan, RIP. I think Ryan died.
Ryan. He's breathing.
He tried to use the switchboard and it didn't work. He fried the system.
Oh, shit.
Oh, jeez.
What are we going to do without our fearless leader?
Well, we don't have control of the switch. No, there we go.
Yeah, sorry. I had, in the midst of our issues earlier, I forgot that I had to go to the bathroom. So then I just went to the bathroom. And then I realized that I left the studio and didn't tell anybody.
Yep, that's 100% true. You left
Luke and I all alone to try and talk to each other.
No, we were fine.
You guys could figure it out.
Yeah, we were good. We were more worried about how in 2 minutes someone's supposed to get on and we don't have control of the switchboard. So.
Well, we do have a couple people sitting on the switchboard already, so we'll be getting that set up just a quick second as I see everybody on there. Just trying to figure out... I think we have a caller as well as a guest. So caller, if you're on, hope you just listen. We'll get to
if
we get some time. Yeah. I posted that we may take calls. So if people want to call and get in line, they can. We do have one question already for our Bears gentleman, Mr. Parker, in just a moment that I can't wait to ask him. But with that being said, without further ado, I think it's time we get down to business here. Park, are you with us, sir?
Hey, yeah, guys. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Welcome back. Good to have you, man. We are so jacked to start the 2024 NFL draft version, a version of our Sportscast. Quarter one always is. And what a better way to start than with the team that's got the first pick. Parker, you've been here before, but why don't you reintroduce yourself real quick for all of our listeners?
Sure, right. Yeah, I'm glad to be back again for another year. It's always fun talking with you guys. I am Parker Hurley with BearGogglesOn.com. Check out everything I do over there at BearGogglesOn.com and on Twitter at Parker Hurley and other social media, things like that. You'll find me after Hurley. So, and I've been there since about 2018, so the Mitch Trubisky draft. So I'm going through three quarterbacks since I've been on Bear Goggles On. Apparently three quarterbacks with the Justin Fields stuff up in the air.
And I think that's a great way to start with it. Obviously, the Bears' number one pick, it's a quarterback-heavy draft, and this has been something for before the season, you could almost go where at one point it was the thought process was the Bears were going to have pick 1 and 2 because of how bad, the other team was that they had picks of. And, you know, obviously it changed a little bit, not too much, but, arguably the best graded quarterback at the combine, Caleb Williams, is in the hands of you guys, and it seems like it's going to be the pick. And I got to ask you, while I'm sure it's the pick, is this the route you want this team to go, or are you ready to hand the keys to Caleb Williams?
I think whether or not it's the route I want them to go, I think it's the route they have to go. So I completely understand and agree with what they're going to do. The biggest thing, and I wrote about it often on Bear Goggles On, is that Justin Fields had they gave him a chance. You know, things got very rocky early in the season, but about in the midway point, the offensive line got healthy, the receivers started to come together, he got healthy, the defense was playing its best, and the team was starting to win, and he just needed a statement win. And in the final week of the season, the Chicago Bears could have eliminated the Green Bay Packers from the playoffs, and if you follow the Bears, you know how important that rivalry is. And Justin Fields got significantly outplayed by Jordan Love. And how, as the Bears owner, can you watch Justin Fields lose that game to your division rival, to a similar up-and-coming quarterback, and watch him play so much better and not just take a chance at, you know, something different, something to shake things up? Like I said, this roster is starting to come together to the point where Fields never had this type of weapons, but they gave him enough of a chance, and now it's probably time to shake things up because, like you said, Caleb Williams is graded high enough that you have to take that shot.
Yeah, so I think the Bears are in a very, very advantageous spot right now to add weapons because it seems like their defense is kind of coming together with the acquisition of Sweat, and then they re-signed
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, who was a stud this year. And now, you know, they're number one position to draft Caleb Williams. They just traded for Keenan Allen. Like, what do you think they're going to do with the number 9 pick? Do you think they're going to stay at number 9? Or do you think they're going to trade down to acquire more? Because it seems like, you know, they could add another weapon, possibly like a Dunze, or draft another defensive player because they'd be in line to draft like another elite defensive player at 9. Like, what do you think they're going to do with that pick, or what would you like to see them do with their number 9 pick?
That's absolutely basically the two thoughts that are going to be in play right here. And then, like you said, possibly trading down, but I think you look at between Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, and then it seems like Neighbors and Marvin Harrison will be gone, but like you said, maybe Roma Dunze. So, I mean, there's three guys right there that if any of those three are on the board at 9, it would be hard for the Chicago Bears to pass up because, like you said, okay, they traded for Keenan Allen, which is a great addition, but I think he's only signed for this year. He's starting to get a lot older. You know, he's over the age of 30. You know, he's kind of a slot-only player, and they still – you look at the depth chart, and it's DJ Moore, Keenan Allen – and then it gets into Tyler Scott, Velus Jones. You know, you still need, in this NFL, you need three wide receivers. So it would still make a lot of sense for them to go wide receiver. And then you look on the defensive line and you say, across from Montez Sweat, you have a guy in DeMarcus Walker who's pretty much a solid rotational guy. But beyond that, he doesn't bring much. So you want to bring in, whether it be more rotational guys or a big name, and the fact that they haven't brought in anybody yet in free agency makes you think maybe they're looking at it and saying those receivers are probably going to fall off the board before 9, but we know that either Jared Verse, Dallas Turner, you know, one of those guys are going to be there, and it's very hard to find a young up-and-coming pass rusher aside from in the top 10 of the NFL draft, and maybe they're going to just take their shot right there.
Yeah, it's just it's nuts to me.
So obviously, you know, you mentioned the Caleb Williams has got to be the way to go. You got to try something. I know you and Luke were discussing heavy on in the DMs about the Justin Fields stuff. And I told Luke, I said, you know, we're not going to post anything about it. We'll just wait till the show. What's kind of the camp right now for Justin Fields? It just seems like it's turned into like a ghost town where it was the hot button, you know, 72 hours ago or 96 hours ago. And now it's just kind of, whoop, it's gone.
Right.
I mean, are they moving him? Or are they going to try to run both of them? I guess I'm curious your thoughts as to what they're doing with Justin Fields now.
I think eventually they're going to have to move him. They have Tyson Bagent, who showed to be, you know, a quality backup, and they signed Brett Rypien, who looks like a number three. The room's just starting to look – it looks like they're, you know, prepared to move on, and I think that's one of the issues, is that them being so prepared to move on has teams looking around saying, well, you know, at some point they're just going to have to take anything. And teams are having trouble committing because Fields is on the last year of his rookie contract. You could exercise his fifth-year option. That's over $20 million. You could decline his fifth-year option, but then he might be a free agent next year. So, and Fields is a very particular quarterback, and where you have to change your entire offense to play around his skill set. So what team wants to trade anything to change their entire offense around his skill set for potentially 1 year? And if it fails, you know, you probably decline the fifth-year option, because, you know, how crazy would you be to accept the fifth-year option at this point? So really, you know, you're trading for a one-year rental that doesn't fit very many offenses. So it's starting, you know, we talked about off-air, the Vikings looked like they were a capable, you know, option until they went and paid Sam Darnold, and now they're, you know, trading for an extra first-round pick, which has everybody saying they're probably going to trade up for a quarterback, so they're off the board. It looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers actually are going to sit here and say, we traded Kenny Pickett, who's Russell Wilson's backup? We could take a one-year flyer on Justin Fields, potentially work out an extension, and then Russell Wilson gets his 1 year, and then Justin Fields, you know, if they believe in Justin Fields in that 1 year, then maybe they go with him in 2025 instead of an aging Russell Wilson. I think it's interesting that the Pittsburgh Steelers, after trading Kenny Pickett and letting Mason Rudolph walk in free agency, they were the team rumored from the very start, and then they signed Russell Wilson, and now all of a sudden I think they're the favorites again.
So one thing I was going to ask about that doesn't really have to pertain to the draft, just kind of a roster question, which is very interesting. Question me about the Bears roster and just kind of shows really how stacked it's like starting to become. What are you guys going to do at running back? You have Khalil Herbert, who is pretty good when he gets a chance. You guys have Roschon Johnson, who was looking pretty good until he got like knocked out of the Vikings game with a concussion. And then you guys still have Dante Foreman, I believe. Like, it just seems like you guys have a pretty crowded like backfield. And do you think that anyone is going to kind of win that job outright this year, or take over to become the number one guy, or are they going to be a committee backfield again?
It seems like a committee, but then they went out and paid DeAndre Swift, one of the first moves in free agency.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So it's like, it's really like it's a jumbled mess in there, because, you know, Swift is kind of a big play hitter who's not much of a, you know, between tackles grinder, doesn't really rely on power too often. Could argue Khalil Herbert's the same way. Swift brings value in the passing games in terms of being able to catch the ball. Herbert's a little better at pass blocking. Neither of them are complete in the passing game because they're struggling in the other area. And then Roschon Johnson is more of the inside between the tackles runner, but he lacks a lot of the dynamic nature and the speed. So they really do just kind of have a mix, and it does seem like, you know, when they want to pass to the running back, there's going to be some Swift action. When they want to, you know, like I said, potentially pass protect, there's going to be some Khalil Herbert, or, you know, a lot of the outside zone plays will be Khalil Herbert, and then some of the inside zone plays will be Roschon Johnson, and you kind of just hope that you don't have a tell there. So in terms of fantasy, it's going to be tough, and I didn't expect them to immediately sign somebody like DeAndre Swift the way that they did, especially, like I said, he's almost – stylistically similar to Khalil Herbert. So you just wonder if, you know, are they going to try and invest all the way in DeAndre Swift, or is it going to just be a jumbled mess?
Yeah, I personally think I personally like Roschon Johnson the best out of all those guys, just because I feel he has like the best kind of all-around game, even though he's not quite as explosive, but I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Sure. Yeah, like I said, his issue was he got a concussion when, you know, he was the backup when he was expected to, you know, be a rookie backup. And then it was his time to shine, and he got a concussion and missed the moment where he had a real chance to take a full workload. And then, you know, Khalil Herbert and Foreman were back in the mix when he got healthy again.
So I know you guys kind of seem to be getting a lot of riches, you could say. I don't know why I was going to say rags to riches. That doesn't make a ton of sense. But you know, with the running back, as Elijah just brought up, and, you know, mentioned the wide receivers, you have a happy medium, worst-case scenario. You have a backup that can play if you really need it, if you don't move them.
Mm-hmm.
You just paid Cole Kmet as your tight end, but there's a guy that I feel like is a game changer, and he's going to be the next big name at that position, and that's Brock Bowers. Something about Brock Bowers has just sold me. And I know there's a lot of talk that, you know, he may not go to the Bengals now, or he may go as early as the Chargers at 5, trades, this and that. You know, if a guy like Brock Bowers is sitting there at 9, is there any thought, have they even looked at a guy like this, or are they like, nope, we're sold, we don't need him? Or is it all these young, you know, young quarterbacks always love to have their tight end companion?
Right.
That could be his companion for the next 10 years. So is there, you know, if you had anything on that situation.
So there's really two arguments. I would say the first one is that Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator who they just hired, leans heavily into the in multiple tight ends. You know, he leans heavily into the tight end position. So they are going to lean more heavily into their tight ends. I do believe that. The question is, though, and they do often run three tight ends, they also just signed Gerald Everett in free agency, who, you know,
yes,
has bounced around the league. He's a veteran, but quality enough number two. Then the next question is, okay, Brock Bowers is so dynamic. Like I mentioned, if you start listing the Bears receivers, you got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and then Tyler Scott. If you bring Brock Bowers and just call him a slot receiver, you know, he's better than Tyler Scott already. So, you know, start to debate, I think at that point it would be Roma Dunze as a pure receiver versus Brock Bowers as a slot receiver. And then, like I said, then there would be the two edge guys. So it's definitely possible, but I also think, yeah, the addition of Keenan Allen, who, you know, plays primarily slot, and the addition of Everett, who's a tight end, maybe takes them out of the Bowers race a little more than they were just a week or so ago.
And that's fair. And that's kind of my thought too, but I'm just like, man, could you imagine if he falls to 9 and doesn't go, and a guy with that talent might have something. We did have a outside question that a man from Park Forest, Illinois himself wants me to ask. And I will tell him I will before we're done here. But I did want to ask you this kind of just a generalization to kind of wrap this draft up.
Sure.
What do you want to see when you walk away Thursday night on the 25th to come away happy? Like, in a perfect scenario, what do you want them to do with 1-9? If you were in that war room, what's your play? What's making Parker happy with the Bears?
I think, yeah, everyone's high-fiving and handshaking and all of that. I think the best scenario would be, obviously, like I said, Caleb Williams seems to be the lock at 1. And then I think it would be someone like Roma Dunze. It doesn't seem like Malik Nabers could fall that far, but if they could get someone like Roma Dunze in there, who just seems like such a solid outside receiver, he would match very well with DJ Moore. Like I said, the timeline of Keenan Allen really allows them to slowly ease him as the third, and then slowly ease Keenan Allen out. And, you know, Adunze can really step into that. And then you're just set at receiver with youth in terms of DJ Moore and Roma Dunze for the time moving forward. He's a prospect I've really enjoyed watching. I've mentioned that you could really argue that Jared Verse and Dallas Turner are better needs for the Chicago Bears, but I think receiver is such a valuable position. And Adunze, in my opinion, if I just stacked prospects, I would take Adunze over Verse and Turner. So I would lean towards Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze. Let's get this offense, you know, no more excuses of, oh, well, the Bears didn't do enough for this quarterback. No, Caleb Williams is coming in with weapons when we give him Roma Dunze.
Yeah, this is going to be a very heavy offensive division. When you right, kind of go in day one and you're looking at, I mean, you know, Jefferson and Addison and a Munra, and if Jamison Williams comes back and the way he should be, and what you guys have, and if Christian Watkins can do something. I mean, there's a lot of really good offensive players in this division.
Absolutely.
Not so much good offense, but I said I would ask this. It's a two-part question for you, sir, and I apologize ahead of time.
Is it Bam Bam Bigelow?
No, Bam Bam Bigelow is tight as hell. I would be embarrassed about giving somebody the greetings from Asbury Park in the middle of the show. But one Is Rashad Salaam in your top 10 running backs in Bears history? And two, do you put him above Curtis Enos?
Whoa.
Oh, man. You guys are getting the deep ones here. Come on.
Now, I apologize. It's from a Bears fan, so I wouldn't expect anything worse from them. No offense to you, obviously, in turn, but good old Alex Mello from WrestleCast Radio.
That's incredible. Hey, I started it by saying, you know, I've only been covering the Bears since 2018, and this is their third quarterback, so we all know.
Yeah, he's been through the Rex Grossman, Cade McCown.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, right. They've seen it all. Yeah, and coach after coach after coach. So it's we hope that the Bears, it finally ends, break the chain with Caleb Williams.
There you go. That's the answer I'm going to give him. And then when he goes, well, that doesn't have anything to do about running back, I'm like, it's totally fine. And then I'm just going to leave it at that. And then he'll be confused and it works perfect.
That's it. Yeah, nothing else.
Parker, man, thanks a lot for coming on here, jumping in. I'm glad we got to get you on here and get the, you know, number one pick with the first topic at hand. And obviously, you know, as per normal, I think you've contributed before. That Wednesday before the draft, we'll be reaching out to everybody to do our live on-air mock draft where everyone drafts for their teams. So as we get closer, we'll reach out to see if we can get you to come on and draft at 1-9 for the live mock draft on air with us. But if you want to plug everything one more time, man, be my guest.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you guys. And I'll be at Parker Hurley on Twitter, and everything's on BearGogglesOn.com. So check me out there.
Heck yeah. All right, so we'll talk soon. Thanks again, Parker.
No problem. You have a good one.
Parker Hurley coming outside. And a great interview. Love Parker. Always been a great friend of the show. But, you know, I mean, Paul Pickett even gets the motherfucking RevX. I'm sorry, everyone gets it.
Cut that bitch off!
Everybody gets RevX.
Man, doing this interview, man, just makes me kind of jealous of how good of a position the Bears are in right now.
They are, man. Their team is looking good. And they, I think, are at a spot where they can afford, kind of like he was saying, to do that luxury pick at 9 and get away with it. And
oh,
that's a
man,
nice thing to be able to say.
Well, I mean, like, them adding Keenan Allen, having Keenan Allen as a big slot, and then having Roma Dunze on the outside, and then DJ Moore on the outside. Just,
You got Cole Kmet, too. They brought in DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
Luke, what do you think about the Bears after talking it?
I don't want to talk about it, ain't.
That's fine. Why don't we talk about this pick number 11? I got the Los Angeles Chargers taking J.C. Latham.
Oh, I got to pull up the right screen. Hold on.
That's why I printed mine out, bitch.
At number 11, I have the Chargers taking Brock Bowers. They still get the guy they want at 5, in my opinion. And pick up an option with it.
I have the Chargers go and J.C. Latham as well.
Well, you didn't trade though. I thought.
I didn't trade. You're right. So I'm on the Vikings.
Yeah,
this
I'm the Vikings.
This man does not have a printed copy of his report.
So the I'm leaving. I'm done. So the Vikings here.
Elijah's like this.
You do not want to make an enemy out of me.
So
since
I didn't trade, I forgot we're all kind of I had a brain fart for a minute. So since I'm staying pat with the Vikings, I'm going Byron Murphy the second here.
Hell yeah.
At 11, because I have a plan that I want to stick to for the Vikings, even though they're probably not going to.
No, so I won't do anything we want them to do.
No.
Number 12, I have Denver excited as Dallas Turner falls to them.
I have them taking J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I like if the Vikings don't trade up and get J.J. McCarthy, I feel like Denver is going to be on that list to get J.J. McCarthy. Like, I feel like they actually are going to try and, like,
horny.
I think the Broncos are, like, as Ryan just said, are horny for J.J. McCarthy. So they're going to try and get him any way they can. And if they can get him at 11, or I mean 12, they're going to probably take him
not
here.
Have to move, too.
Jeez. Yeah. So.
What were you going to say, Luke?
I just think they're going to be forced to take a quarterback because they cut old boy Russ Wilson. Well, they have to almost because they have like $90 million in dead cap over the next 2 years just from Russell Wilson. So they're not going to have the cap room to go sign like a free agent this year or next year to big money. So they're almost forced to take a rookie quarterback somewhat high to
it's probably
for the
be...
cap room to work.
It's probably going to be McCarthy or Nix is my guess.
Yeah. So at pick 13, I have the Raiders taking Quinyon Mitchell.
How dare you? I wanted to do that, but then I did a different pick because I refused to give the Raiders anything good. So at pick 13, I have the Raiders taking Talisi Fuaga.
I thought you were going to the Jets.
No, I had him. Oh, Fashanu going to the Jets.
Oh, yeah, Fashanu, sorry. What do you got, Elijah?
I got the Raiders taking Quinyon Mitchell here as well, just because probably the best player on the board at this point, and they have a lot of needs. So,
at 14, I have the Nolan Saints taking Olumuyiwa Fashanu.
Oh God, that was rough. I have the Saints taking J.C. Latham.
I have the Saints taking Troy Fatanu.
Yeah, I think a lot of these are going to be right about the position. It's just a matter of which one for these linemen.
Yeah.
I should make that betting game interesting at the cabin.
Yeah, that betting game's going to be tight because I was going to do – I had 10 offensive linemen this first round here, I think.
I had 10, I think, too.
At 15, I had the Colts taking Terrion Arnold.
I have the Colts, same position, but Kenyon Mitchell.
I got the Colts taking Arnold as well.
And then the Saints, I have them taking Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois.
Isn't this the Seahawks?
Yeah,
what did I say?
You said Saints. But that's cool.
Oh, sorry. Seahawks, correct. I apologize.
I have Seattle taking Jackson Powers Johnson. Yeah.
I got Seattle taking Amarius Mims.
Mims is like
cooked food. remember that Madden song?
Mm-mm.
You don't remember that?
Not
Mims on Madden. Madden 08, Mims. Mims is hot like cooked food.
I just thought Mims was, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
That's the rapper Mims, dog.
Yeah.
He also has a song on Madden too.
You know what else? What was that song on Madden that was on every 10 seconds? It was the 02 one that had like Joey Porter on or whatever, or Jerome Harrison or whoever. Or not Jerome Harrison, but I can't remember who it was. But it was that song by like Andrew WK, and they kept playing it over and over.
We will always party hard.
It was like, that was like the first ever one that was online on the PS2.
You were
and
God night.
It so is if I was ever losing a game, I would just not turn the PlayStation 2 off and go to bed. And then they would eventually quit and I'd get to win.
Party, 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 party.
God. 17, I have the Jaguars taking Byron Murphy the second.
I have them taking Johnny Newton.
Johnny Newton?
I have them taking Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah, I think he's going to keep climbing. 18,
oh
I have Brock Bowers.
Do we possibly, I know this might be overdraft considering some people.
No, take him at 23?
No, take him at, I mean, yeah, but like 11, but
I mean,
man.
We've said that they need a center.
Oh, Garrett Bradbury. Yeah. I'm sorry, Garrett Bradbury is like trash against the pass. Like he can't stop rushers.
I just wouldn't take him at 11, but I would definitely take him anywhere from like 16 on.
Yeah.
18, I got Brock Bowers for the Bengals, which
I have a Marius Mims to the Bengals.
Brock Bowers, Bengals. I can't believe he made it this far. But
19, I have Jared Verse going to the Rams.
I have the Rams taking Terrion Arnold.
I have the Rams taking Johnny Newton here.
Johnny, baby. And then at 20, I have Nate Wiggins going to Pittsburgh.
I have Pittsburgh taking Troy Fatanu.
I got Pittsburgh taking Odonai Mitchell here.
Odonai Mitchell out of Texas going. And you know what? Somebody, I think, may reach on him because of his speed.
Oh, his combine was ridiculous. Speed, broad jump, vertical, like, and he's got size. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll just keep plowing through here until we head to our next call. At 21, I have the Dolphins taking Jackson Powers Johnson.
Well, I have the Dolphins taking Byron Murphy the second.
I got the Dolphins taking Chop Robinson here.
Chop chop, like the Youngblood song. Chop chop. I think that's what they say. 22, Cooper DeGene to the Eagles.
I have the Eagles taking Nate Wiggins.
I have the Eagles taking Cooper DeGene. They always seem to like to take, like, safeties high.
Well,
so.
And they always seem to take good, like, these good players that they shouldn't get. Like all those Georgia kids, bastards.
Yep.
A lot of discrepancy, I know, at least from where you picked them. Luke, but at 23, I have Laiatu Latu go to the Texans.
Damn, that's tight. The Texans. The Texans don't have this pick, dog. This is the Vikings.
Yeah, but when I made this, that trade hadn't happened.
That is true. Okay, well, that one you got wrong.
You got to remember, I didn't make mine at last minute like you guys did.
At pick 23, I have the Chargers taking Brian Thomas because this pick was part of that trade.
If you guys want me to do a later one, I can because I made another one today because I couldn't find my sheets. But
no, you're fine.
I'm doing since the Vikings got the pick, I'm picking Vikings and I'm picking my boy at 23, Michael Penix Jr.
What did you have though?
What did I have?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the sheet in front of me.
All right, so 24 that I had Troy Fatanu.
At 24, I had Tyler Guyton.
24, I'm going Graham Barton here.
Get a cat.
Center out of Duke.
Isn't he a guard?
He's a guard.
God, like J.J. Redick?
Like J.J. Redick.
I have Green Bay at 25 taking Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Same, dog, same.
I don't like the Packers, but I have them taking Kool-Aid.
26, I got Tampa taking Chop Robinson.
I have Tampa taking Jared Verse.
That's a big drop, too, for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, huge drop. I don't even think I have. Yeah, but I'm going to go Laiatu Latu here because I haven't used him yet.
I was going to say, were you looking for your sheet? And I'm doing sheet in air quotes.
Well, I had to switch rooms. You want me to get up?
I was joking with Luke earlier. I was like, I bet you I'm the only one that's going to come prepared for this mock draft. And this is at 2:00 today. And Luke goes, shit, I forgot to do my mock draft.
I mean, you're extremely prepared. You're probably more prepared than I am. But I mean, I'm not like ill prepared.
No, it's a joke. I'm making a joke.
I'm mad.
Okay.
I'm fucking pissed.
I know the joke airplane usually flies overhead and you're like, what the hell is that noise? But I was just hoping that one was gonna get.
I'm so mad. I'm wait till I see you again.
When I see you at the cabin, I'm gonna play this when you come walking out.
Ladies and gentlemen.
and then we'll just break into an impromptu match. We get
what
Kyle in the commentary.
EC 1 and 2.
And I'll be super stiff. Just like
yeah, you'll just potato the shit out of me. I'm like, bro, lighten up a little bit. You're like, no. Ah. Just beating the piss out of me like it's like I'm some you're beating my ass like you're Perry Saturn and I'm that guy who took the weird bump and almost broke your neck, so you're gonna kill me now for it.
Yeah.
But then you have
for
to spend
sure.
the rest of the cabin as Moppy, so
oh no, no, no,
there.
No.
That's why they gave him that gimmick. He got that gimmick because he shot on that. Yeah, he shot on that dude on like Sunday Night Heat or whatever. And like
I
he, like shit canned this dude.
Don't remember.
Yeah, if you go back and watch it, he like the dude does something and I don't know. He's like trying to pick him up, and I don't know if he didn't jump and he sandbagged him. And he sets him down, and Saturn just pops the dude, and then he shit cans him so hard out of the ring that the guy's legs hits the top ropes and he falls straight down onto his head to the floor.
Ouch! Did he yell stupid when he was while he was getting sandbagged?
Stupid. Thankfully, Randy Orton was probably just getting court-martialed at that point, so he wasn't there yet. So we will pause at the Arizona Cardinals at 27 because it's time to grab Mr. Desmond Novak. Come on here, Desmond. What is going on, my dude?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Excited to get going here, talking some NFL draft. It's our most wonderful time of the year, as the commercial would say, if you know what I'm talking about. Jack to get into it with the number 6 pick Giants. But before we kick everything off, man, why don't you introduce yourself real quick to all of our listeners who may not have read any of the stuff or seen tweets that back and forth, and just kind of let everyone know where you write for.
All right. So I know I was introduced, but I'm Desmond. I write for G-Man HQ. It's a Giants-based website for fan-sided. Do a couple of things every now and then on YouTube and love to get on shows like this and obviously spread my opinion on the Giants, as if you can't tell, my favorite team in the NFL, and definitely excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Desmond. I'm just going to jump right into it here. During this offseason, a lot of people said that Danny Dimes would not be coming back, and a quarterback was the future at pick 6. You know, their signing of who was the quarterback they signed? I just had his name.
Drew
I apologize.
Locke.
Drew Locke.
Drew Locke.
It seems like that is not the way they are going at pick 6 this year. This team seems to always draft wide receivers that miss, get hurt, they trade later, whatever the case may be. Do you think wide receiver is in the line of sight at 6 for the Giants?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's going to get a little tricky now because with the Chargers trading away Keenan Allen and cutting Mike Williams, they're definitely going to be honing in on a receiver, whether it's Odunze or Malik Nabers. That will probably determine who the Giants end up taking, if I'm not mistaken, the Chargers pick at 5, correct?
Yep.
So that is going to play a huge factor. Yes, obviously things could change. I would definitely say receiver. I really want Malik Nabers, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Chargers jumped the gun and took him ahead of the Giants.
Now, I'll say this too, you've been speaking to Luke through the DMs. I'm Ryan, the one that he threw under the bus about your guy, Danny Jones. So I'll admit that. That's fine. You can out me. I think he's butt cheeks. And it makes me even more mad because as a Vikings fan, he beat us in the playoffs, which I don't feel like he had any reason to do that. And it just makes me irritated and pissed
us.
Off.
He dinked and dunked us down the entire field that whole game.
Hey, man, Giants fans are going to hold on to that game to keep Daniel Jones on the team.
Richie James is killing us.
All I'm saying is that Daniel Jones has the same amount of playoffs as Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins just made $200 million.
Look, Kirk Cousins is only $12 million away from catching Aaron Rodgers as the highest paid in the history of the NFL. He is the Jeff Jarrett of football. All that dude does is win behind the scenes.
Man, who's the dude? Who is the receiver that like just went off on the Vikings for the Giants? Was it Isaiah Hodgins?
Isaiah Hodgins. Yep.
God bless America.
Like never heard of, like. Yeah, just the Giants and the Vikings last year just was not good memories. So I'm done.
I'll turn this back on. Thank you for that, Elijah. I am on your side. I appreciate that. Obviously, this is one of the most quarterback-heavy drafts that we've seen that theoretically they should pan out instead of, you know, half being bums and half being good. But you never know how it goes, and that's the crap shot that is the NFL draft. At any point, have you heard or have you personally felt like at pick six, you guys got to make a move for a quarterback, or are you comfortable waiting to get the second year done and deciding what you're doing with Danny in the off season?
See, this is the really tough part. Me personally, I haven't heard much on whether really what position the Giants are going to take. For a while, I was kind of hoping it could have been Jaden Daniels at six, but again, with Drew Lock getting signed and then the Giants apparently telling Drew Lock that the reason he should sign with the Giants is because he can compete for a starting spot. That kind of throws that all in a loop. I would like a quarterback this year just because I was looking at some of the guys who could be available in the 2025 class and it's not looking too high. I can't remember a lot of the names other than Shedeur Sanders, and with all due respect to Shedeur Sanders, he's not a guy I'm super high on. I think he could be good, but right now a lot of the traits, I just don't really see it with him. The Giants are in a really tough spot, especially when it comes to Daniel Jones. But the good thing is with his contract is if they were to release him after this season, I don't think they would lose much cap space, if any at all, compared to what they would lose if they were to cut him now. But then again, if you get rid of Daniel Jones, who are you going to have come in? I don't know what the free agency class is looking like for 2025. And again, quarterback draft class isn't looking too hot. So they really put themselves in a tough situation with this contract.
I want to bring up the tight end position here. Last year, you guys bring in Darren Waller. It's not necessarily a failed experiment. He suffered some injuries, not his fault. You guys still have Daniel Bellinger and then bring in Stoll and Manhurts during free agency. You think if Brock Bowers falls here to six, do they take a look at him to get an unruly talent like Travis Kelce-esque for the future?
I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard a lot of things that say, like, depending on how the Giants, like how the board falls, the Giants could look at best player available. Me personally, I have to say I wouldn't be the happiest if they took a tight end at six. However, with the possibility of Darren Waller retiring, because apparently that's something he's contemplating. I love Daniel Bellinger, but his ceiling in the NFL his ceiling in the NFL is, I'd say, a starting level tight end, nothing much higher than that. And then the other guys are kind of meh. So if you get a commitment on Darren Waller one way or another, if he comes back or if he does decide to retire, then I look a little more highly on taking Brock Bowers at six. But as of right now, I'd much rather, if we're not going to go receiver, look to either trade back or maybe even go tackle. I doubt they do that now after making the signings they have, but I don't know, man.
You guys are in a real interesting spot, I think, at 6-2, because consensus is your first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. Marvin Harrison's going to go four. And from everything we're hearing in Minnesota is we're trading up to five to take J.J. McCarthy. We'll just call it that. So theoretically, you have an open canvas after those five players that I think that's where the draft starts to get interesting. I know you just mentioned about not needing offensive tackle, and I know you're looking at Malik Nabers as kind of like a nice key piece weapon. Is there any defensive players that are sitting there at six, being everyone is going to be there, that you think would be worth taking at six or maybe moving back a couple spots to try to add some more capital and still pick up? Or are you set on your offense?
Wait, is this for, am I looking at defensive guys or offensive guys?
I'm just curious, like, are you offense or bust, or is there any defensive guys you actually wouldn't hate if they did take at six or move back for?
So the tough thing is prior to the first day of free agency, I would have said yes, because I like a few of the edge rushers that are in the first round. I wouldn't like them at six, but you mentioned trading back. In that scenario, I would definitely want them, like Dallas Turner. I can never remember his first name, but Latu out of UCLA, I believe. Those are two guys I'm very high on coming out of this draft class. But after bringing in Brian Burns, having him and Thibodeau taking up the edge spots, we don't really need that. So maybe if they were to trade back, there's a couple of secondary guys I wouldn't mind. But I feel like their defense is currently definitely not set, but to a point where you can add some veterans, especially in the secondary, and be fine. The problem right now is that we've had a bottom-tier offense for how many years now, and something has to change.
I'm sorry, I had to cough. I'm here.
Okay, you're sick.
Yeah.
We know you're dying.
Nah,
the show came out, and you weren't playing last night.
The Giants, everyone knows, lost their proud Saquon Barkley this offseason to rival Philadelphia. Do you think this team, it seems like the last couple of years, the offense has always gone through Saquon, lack of talent at wide receiver, Daniel Jones maybe not having the greatest talent that we have not seen. Do you think this team takes a step back losing Saquon this free agency since it was his team and office focused through him?
See, the tough thing about calling it taking a step back is that taking a step back would be from going like 30th in offense to 32nd in offense. So it's really tough to say whether or not they're going to take a step back, because the thing is when they had Saquon, it's not like he was, at least last year, speaking purely last season, he wasn't super productive. Now, was that entirely his fault? Absolutely not. Teams knew that the Giants were going to run through him, so they stacked the box more. He had some injuries early on in the season, so it wasn't really his fault. But again, he wasn't the most productive, and the Giants' offense was still bad. Devin Singletary is a guy where he's all right. He's cool. Obviously not going to do what Saquon does, regardless of under any circumstance, really. It's tough. Because, again, taking a step back is going from third worst to worst in the NFL. But it's tough. It all depends really on how Daniel Jones does, which is just not a good thing to think about.
Is there, you know, and it's probably the last thing I got for you about this wide receiver stuff, because it intrigues me so much, because I hear these names being talked about again from the playoff game, and I'm just like, gosh, you know, there's nobody there, and they're killing us. It drives me crazy. And I look back and I'm thinking, well, if Danny Jones figures this out, which maybe he could, Malik Nabers ends up at six. Later on in the draft, you guys nail a couple spots here and there. Dallas is really, I think, up in the air, especially with Dak coming off the books next year. Philly, there's a lot of rumblings internally that there's dysfunction, which hopefully we can get somebody on to talk about that. And Washington's just kind of Washington. If this all works the way it's supposed to, you think there's some way you guys could just slide into like a 9-8 and win this division?
If things go to plan, Jones remembers how to throw football more than 10 yards. Darren Waller doesn't retire and stays healthy. The offensive line isn't the worst in the NFL. Devin Singletary can, you know, have another good season. There are so many things that have to go right. But, yeah, I definitely think it is possible, because we saw Daniel Jones lead an offense, whether it was good or bad, to a playoff berth. So with, hypothetically, more weapons in a Malik Nabers and in a healthy Darren Waller and what should be a better offensive line, on paper, yes. Whether that paper translates, we'll have to
see. No, it's
one
fair.
Can
it's
only
just
hope.
I had to ask it before we wrapped up, because it's like there's so many weird things every year about this NFC East, where it's like every single team is like a world beater somehow, or nobody's doing anything, or You know, it's just, it's so random, and it feels like it's in that year again where it may take a slope down a ways, and it just could be right for the picking if everything goes right. It's just, it's intriguing, and I, man, Malik Nabers is such a weapon that I don't think that, I don't think Danny Jones has had anything even close to Nabers, unless I'm wrong,
oh,
has he?
No. Not, yeah, not at all. Not at all. Maybe the ghost of Kenny Golladay, but definitely.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, I mean, did he even throw it to Kenny Golladay? Did he even get Golladay?
No. I think Kenny Galladay's only touchdown with the Giants came off of a Davis Webb pass, so no.
Davis Webb.
This man said Davis Webb. That's like us saying Joe Webb.
Strong arm quarterbacks that kind of, that's all they have, strong arms. I mean, Joe Webb could run a little bit, but.
I wanted Joe Webb to be so tight, man, and he was trash. But that's kind of a life as a Vikings fan, you know. Last time I went to the NFC Champions, well, second to last time, you guys whipped our ass 41-0.
Yeah, so I think I have a plaque of that game in my room somewhere. I have to dig around.
Oh, that was bad.
God, they whooped us. Just, I mean, you could like just take my pants off and just beat it, beat my ass, and just be done with it. It's just terrible. real quick, Desmond, before I let you go, I don't think we've ever had you on before. I'm trying to remember who we'd always had on from G-Man HQ, and I can't think of his name for the life of me. Neither here nor there, it doesn't matter, but we have a game we like to play with our guests. Have you ever seen Uberfacts on Twitter?
No, I don't think so.
Would you like to play a round of Uberfacts with us, sir?
You might have to explain it a little bit, but yeah, definitely.
Let's do it.
Uberfacts, the most unimportant things you'll never need to know.
Essentially, I have four facts for you. Three of these are correct facts, and one of these I have altered to change it so it's a fake fact. You have to sniff out which is the fake fact. I will let Desmond go first. Luke, you can go second since you set up all these interviews tonight. Elijah, we'll have you bat in the three hole here to try to knock it out. And we'll see if I don't get my ass kicked this year, because last year I had a really bad time where I got caught every time, it seemed like. So once again, I'm going to read to you four facts. You have to tell me which one is the incorrect fact. Number one.
Okay.
A day on Venus lasts longer than a month on Venus. Number two, you don't hear your own voice as others hear it. You perceive it as deeper because you hear it through your own skull. Number three, a single strand of spaghetti is called a spaghetto. And number four, smoking a cigarette shortens your life expectancy by about 11 minutes on average. What is the fake fact?
Oh, man. damn. So it was what, a month on Venus is longer than a day. What was the second one again?
A day is longer than a year.
Oh, okay.
Second one is you don't hear your own voice, so others hear it. You perceive it as deeper because you hear it through your skull. A single strand of spaghetti is called a spaghetto. And smoking a cigarette shortens your life expectancy by about 11 minutes on average.
See, man, I feel like I've heard all of these before, but, oh, man.
Now, remember, I altered one fact. So all these are true. I just changed something in one of them. You got to sleuth out what I changed, the one that I changed.
I feel like the cigarette one is shorter than 11 minutes. Like, it's still taking minutes off, but it's shorter than 11.
All right, he's going with number four. Luke, what's your choice?
I'm going to do this. I'm going number four, too.
Number four as well. And Elijah, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go number four.
Number four, the cleanup, and that's a very good way to look at it. So I'll tell you this right now. You guys are very smart to stay away from a string of single strand of spaghetti because it is called a spaghetto. I had to make sure that was right.
Yeah.
Why do I find that so funny?
I know. I saw it. So I actually had a different one, and I was looking at the Uber. I was looking at something, and I found that, and I was like, "Oh, I have to add this shit in right now." This. The other one's getting bumped for next show.
I had to put my Italian ancestors would be so proud of me.
Yes, and you can now say that too. Like, you know, I know something. You guys were also smart to stay away from the voices one, because yes, you do hear through your skull, which is why you have that kind of a echoey. Like, I'm sick kind of a talk sometimes you hear, because it's not coming out of your ears. It's going through your skull, so it's echoing, which is kind of cool. Which leaves us with two. The question is, are you guys all right or are you guys all wrong? A day on Venus lasts longer than a month? It does, because a day on Venus actually lasts longer than a year on Venus. That is the correct answer. Fortunately... smoking a cigarette shortens your life by about 11 minutes. The host is 1-0. Let's go.
Damn.
Let's go.
Burr, burr, burr.
Like I said, last year, you guys, like, everyone's like, number two. I'm like, you guys don't want to, like, talk it over? No, we're all going number two. I'm like, all right, well, you won. Like, that was the consensus. So, as long as I get one under my belt, that feels good. Oh, man, that's beautiful. Desmond, man, thanks so much for coming out. I'm glad Luke got this set up. I thought it was really interesting to talk to this Giants team, sixth pick in the draft. We got to get him in there. This is our favorite time of the year. Real quick before I have you plug everything one more time for all of our listeners, the Wednesday before the draft, we'll be in touch again if you are free that night. We do a live on-air mock draft where we bring in callers for every team. And we run a live draft. So we'll reach out closer to obviously the draft's the 25th. So this will be the 24th, that Wednesday. And, you know, hey, if you're free, we'll bring you on and have you draft for the G-Men yourself, your team. So excited to
bring
you
back
on that. And like I said, plug everything you got one more time for all of our listeners for us.
All right, so I work for G-Men HQ with FanSided technically, and then you can check any of my YouTube stuff out. I believe it's Swift Hoops 220 to be specific, because I know you need that dumb little code at the end of YouTube usernames. And, yeah, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That was awesome, man. We'll be in touch then to talk soon, okay?
Sounds great. See y'all later.
All right, thanks again. Desmond Novak, G-Men HQ, coming on. What a good little interview.
I wonder how much we're going to see Tommy DeVito's agent this season.
Tommy Cutlet, bro.
Why didn't you come in and ask him about that one?
I don't know.
That was funny.
That's Tommy Cutlet's brother.
Let's go. All right.
Tommy
Gabbaloo. 1-0, baby. Now I'll probably go 0-5 the next 5 weeks, but at least I got that first dub. And I we're wrapping that up, and I went, shit, I didn't pull up Uber Facts. That's the deal, man.
Uber Facts.
We're in hour number two, y'all.
Yeah,
hour number two, y'all. And coming up here in just a few short minutes, I'm graciously stepping aside so these guys can talk about my favorite team and theirs. And,
the Cardinals?
The Vikings. But the Cardinals is where we left off on the draft, so I'm glad you brought that up. So. Just so you guys are aware, you guys are going to be doing the Packers and the Steelers. I don't care who does what, but I'm sitting out of both of those. That's my – since I'm sitting out of the Vikings, pulling rank, because I don't want to talk to anybody from the Steelers.
What's Russell Wilson going to say for the Steelers now? Is he going to go,
Steelers Nation, let's weld.
I would have said,
Steelers Nation, Steelers Nation, let's weld.
Let's weld, that's the stupidest shit I've ever heard. Oh, my God.
Be bolder.
Be bolder. This man said, let's weld. If he says that, the dude's a bigger geek than... I just got to play this.
Oh, my man just started throwing babies out the window. We was catching them.
unlike Aguilar.
I don't know what else to say after what she said. Pick number 27. I have the Arizona Cardinals taking Kamari Lassiter.
I have the
shadows of Kwame Lassiter.
I have the Cardinals taking Xavier Worthy.
Ooh.
I have the Cardinals taking Nate Wiggins. Wiki.
I wouldn't hate that if you fell there. I have Buffalo adding a weapon in Donnie Mitchell.
I have Luke.
Oh, what pick are we on? Sorry.
Buffalo. Bills.
I have them taking Chop Robinson, edge rusher.
I have them taking Brian Thomas Jr. because they lost Gabe Davis, and who knows what's going to happen with Stephon Diggs.
Is it not crazy?
It's a great season for Stephon Diggs, which is every offseason.
I love Diggs, but, man, that dude's got kind of a prima donna syndrome. Oh, remember that awesome poster I had above my computer of Diggs when he was on the ground and you saw the back of his jersey after the miracle?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the coolest pictures I've ever owned. God, it was so good. I was going to keep that thing going and going, and then we got knocked out of the playoffs that next year after he left, and I took it down. I was all buttered. I have the Lions at 29 taking Graham Barton.
I have the Lions.
You keep jumping rank.
Sorry, man. I'm getting excited.
You can go. I'll go third. Elijah, you go.
Okay. I have the Lions taking Lassiter Jr.
Kamari Lassiter.
Kamari Lassiter.
I have the Lions taking Leonard Taylor, defensive tackle.
30, I have the Ravens taking Keon Coleman out of Florida State. Elijah, you always jumped, and then he bumps you, and you didn't jump him.
I have the Ravens taking Jordan Morgan.
Jordan Morgan in Arizona.
I have the Ravens taking Graham Barton.
This is God, your shit. Let's just play Evil's theme music done by my mouth for 5 seconds.
What the fuck?
That was evil. Remember, everything is evil.
I don't remember everything
from
is evil.
Japan?
No.
Oh, that's okay. Pick 31, I have a trade.
A trader
with the Raiders. I have the Raiders sending 44-77 in a next year's third to the San Fran 49ers at pick 31 and taking Michael Penix Jr.
No.
Now, did they sign a quarterback?
The Raiders?
Yeah, they did.
They signed Gardner, right?
Yeah, Gardner Minshew. Yeah.
So, I now still think this is kind of happening, but I did change my pick 32 on my new mock. I'll just give both of them next time. But yeah, I had the Raiders trading up, and I still have them doing it even with Minshew, and I'm going to be jealous watching it. But it is what it is. I want Penix so bad at 23, but
yeah,
pick 31, San Fran. Back to you, Elijah.
I got Chris Braswell going here to San Fran.
I have Kamari Lassiter.
And then at pick 32, I had Brian Thomas falling to the Chiefs.
Yeah. 32, you know they're going to take a receiver probably. It's just a matter of which one. Like, I'm trying to decide between – I'm probably going to go Leggett here over Xavier Worthy for me.
Wow, you had Keon Coleman fall out of the first round. There's so many good receivers, I believe it could happen.
I know, it's nuts.
I almost had both of them.
It just depends on what they need. And I feel like the Chiefs need like a big speed guy, like a big speed receiver, outside speed X receiver. So
Well, I mean, like I said, I had Coleman 30 and Thomas 32. They both almost fell out of my first.
Yeah.
What's your 32?
I put Troy Franklin.
Nice. Another
guy.
A whole other one. So I will tell you this. I did do this differently today, and I was curious to hear you guys' reaction. But I added this last minute when I remember with the Minshew thing, I was like, whatever. We need more quarterbacks still going. And I started thinking about other things. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Denver traded back at 32 and gave up like 77-121 in like a next year's second or something and took Bo Nix at 32.
Yeah. Like I think they're either going to take McCarthy. If they can't get McCarthy, Nix will probably be their guy. Like, I totally agree with that.
And then I also did that so then that way we wouldn't have to watch Luke fist fight Kyle for Bo Nix being drafted by the Vikings.
I swear to God.
I got Kyle's back if that happens.
But I'll restrain you so they can fight.
You won't restrain me.
Hey man, I watched them triangle choke you, man. I'm fat as hell. I'll put some girth on your back and go. I'm gonna go. Just let him fight.
I was playing with Demetrius too much, and I got tired.
and he got caught. I wouldn't say he got tired. It's just the luck of the Irish for him. Like it's just like real life. Just randomly, like oh. He caught you with the thing that I always put him in. That's the only reason he even knew what he was doing. But I digress. I would like to see you gorilla press him off of something because that would be funny. But he's not going to be there. Unfortunately, we did try. But let's move on here to the next part here. Jerry, you with us?
Right here.
Yeah, let's go. It is time to talk some hometown Vikings. You guys got this interview lined up. But real quick, before we kick it off, Jared, for everybody who hasn't heard you on here before, talking some Vikings with us, I know I kind of asked you in the interim when I was DMing you with the call number and stuff. But if you got anything at any point you want to plug, man, like please do, because I think you do a lot of really good shit in this NFL community, man. So if there's anything plug before we start, do it, man.
Yeah. Well, my name is Jared Barsness. I do a lot of Viking stuff. I talk all Minnesota sports really on X now, not Twitter anymore. But it's primarily Vikings, especially during the season. I go crazy. I'm really fun to follow during the games, I'm told. So I'm told. But because I'm a very emotional, very big-time homer. So if you're a huge Vikings fan, go ahead and follow me on Twitter. It's at Jared Bars NFL. It's JaredBars NFL. I promise you probably won't regret it, especially now that Kirk Cousins is gone.
No!
I think, and we'll get to that too. I might cry a couple times. But,
that's okay, man. I'm with you. You know that. I got you back.
But, you guys, you'll love me. I promise. I think I promise. Maybe promise. I hope you like me.
Look, I put the WrestleCast and SportsCast seal. Guys, if you liked my interview with Ho-Ho Loon from Dragon Gate, you'll get the same humor from this man. His Twitter or X is in the show notes, too. So if you guys are in here, you see it on the bottom. But, yeah, no, he's one of the good guys that we've had on here before. But with that being said, I'll leave it to you two, Elijah. The floor is yours, my guy.
All right, so my first question is just, it's been a pretty busy week for the Vikings, and personally I feel like what they've kind of done these last few days here has made my thoughts on the future and what the season could be like a lot more positive. I just want to know what you think about their acquisitions and the trade they made today and so far, like how you think their off season is going and your thoughts on it.
No, 100%. I was worried when you started that. I thought you were going to come out with saying you were disappointed with it. And I was going to have to disagree with you right away. But no, I love what's going on right now with Aaron Jones. It's so awesome to see just a good old little F you to the Packers.
Yeah.
Come over to the Vikings. And that's the only team that you heard talking with him, really, after he got released. All you heard was Vikings, Aaron Jones, Vikings, Aaron Jones. That's all it was. I didn't hear a single other team mentioned in his in the same sentence as him. And along with that, Jonathan Grenard, super pumped about this guy. 12.5 sacks, 15 tackles for loss, and 22 quarterback hits last year. Guy is only 26 years old. This is a guy that we could hold on for a long time. He could be a great cornerstone, fantastic replacement to the guy that we lost, Danielle Hunter. Tough guy to lose. Absolute stud. And it sucks that he's not going to be back. But you get Jonathan Grenard in here. He's a little cheaper than him, too. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm really happy with what they're doing with all of the linebacker core, really, because that's where we struggled a lot last year. We didn't have, we had Jordan Hicks, and he missed a few games, and we really struggled in that spot after Danielle Hunter, you know? So Blake Cashman, super fun to see a Gopher come back to Minnesota and play for us. Guy watched all through college and stud in college, and he's done well in the NFL too. And he's, I saw a stat the other day that towards the latter half of last year, absolute stud in coverage. And I think he led up when he was in coverage, it was less than 5 yards per pass that he was in coverage. You could get a guy like that in free agency for the price that they did too. It's a 2-year contract, so we hold on for 2 years. Andrew Van Ginkle, another stud that they get from the Dolphins, a little not as well known, but I think he's going to make some noise here in this Brian Flores defense. I think the big thing for us is that we still have Brian Flores. That's massive, considering we have gotten so accustomed to before Brian Flores, kind of a scared defense, where we're playing soft all the time, especially that 1 year with Ed Donatell, dare I say his name. It was very frustrating, especially under that guy. It's just tough to watch, tough defense to watch. So I'm excited. Even Sam Darnold, I'll say this. A lot of people give Sam Darnold a lot of flack, say, you know, he's Sam Darnold, he ain't very good. Give me one good situation that he's been put in other than the 49ers where he was already playing behind a guy. They already had their guy. He's been with the Jets when they were terrible. He was with the Panthers when they were terrible. He's never been in a good position like he is in right now, where he's got the best running or wide receiver in the league, a stud running back, probably the best offensive tackle duo in the league, along with a stud at wide receiver too. And then once T.J. Hockenson gets back, that's a dangerous offense.
Yesterday, the Texans and the Vikings traded, so the Vikings got the 23rd pick. A lot of people are thinking this was a move to trade up into the top five for the quarterback of the future. This group that you're speaking to all has a different take on what is going to happen. What do you think
Michael
this is Penix. Shaping up to be?
Michael Penix Jr.
Give me Michael
Best
Penix.
Right. I'll think on Michael Penix real quick. I love Michael Penix. Okay. Here's a guy who's going to slide. Like, there's a really good chance that if the Vikings hold on to their 11 and 23 picks, they could snap him at 23 for sure. 100%. Same thing. I heard you guys talking a little bit about Bo Nix. I don't like Bo Nix at all. I don't want that guy on the Vikings at all. Those are my takes on those two guys. As far as trading up, I do think that there's going to be a trade-up that happens. Here's the thing. How much can they entice the Patriots for that number 3 pick? If they throw them 11 and they throw them 23 and they throw them next year's first to get up to 3, are the Patriots really in a good spot to where they're just a quarterback away? I don't think that they are. And I think you get up there, you snap up a Drake May, you snap up a J.J. Here's the thing. J.J. McCarthy, be on him. He's done well in college. You can't take it away from him. But there's been a lot of things that I've seen out in college, too, that concern me. His accuracy, there's been some throws that 100% should have been intercepted and would have been intercepted in the NFL. So that kind of worries me. Drake May, same thing. He had a big turnover problem last year. And that's something that worries me. And I feel like it's obviously Caleb Williams one. Got to be, right? And then you got Jaden Daniels. It's got to be two. If Jaden Daniels makes it past two and the Vikings can't get up to three, that's going to be a real bummer because that kid would be phenomenal in this offense. And so if that's the dream right there, to snap up and get up to three and get that dude, that'd be nuts.
Penix to Daniels.
That'd be amazing. Commanders, they're in another position just like the Patriots where they are more than a quarterback away. They are a weak team. And so you think would they take up that extra draft capital? They get three first-round picks and we get to get up to two? Those are the things that come up on draft day that, you know, that 100% could happen, you know?
Yeah, my thing is I'm not trading, like, for me personally, obviously I'm not a Vikings front office person, but me personally, I'm not giving up what I would have to give up to move up to draft Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. Like, I know that people are super high on these two, but, like, I feel like Drake May is probably the most overhyped quarterback, like, in this draft class, like, just watching, like, film and stuff on these guys. Like, to me, his film is not better than Williams, McDaniels, or Penix. Like, he is very raw. He's not very good in the pocket. He doesn't throw with as much, like, anticipation and accuracy down the field as Penix, Williams, and Daniels do. It's just I don't see the fit with the Vikings with Drake May. And, I mean, I'm not saying that he can't get better because he is pretty young, but it's just, I don't know. And then McCarthy, like, I like McCarthy a little better, but he's been so underutilized at Michigan. Like, I don't know what I'm getting in him because there's just not enough there. So I feel like
Elijah, can I say something real quick? Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Sure.
And I was thinking about this here, you know, just digesting everything. And I remember back in September, October, whatever that was, we were out at that cabin and we're watching, what the hell is that guy's name? Kalimakis?
Andy Milonakis, Kalen, Kathan, Kalen Manis.
Yeah.
Oh, Athan
Kalen
Manis.
We're watching Gophers, North Carolina, and I'm watching this game and I'm going, then this Drake May guy is supposed to be this be all end all. And he doesn't seem, I mean, before he got better as the game went on, obviously, but like when they went into halftime, he didn't seem any better than Ethan Kalikamakis did.
I'm totally with you on that. Like that game, he did not look good at all. And I'm not a Drake May guy at all. I'd probably take McCarthy before Drake May. I'm not sold on that guy at all.
He's Mac Jones. Drake May is Mac Jones. I'm saying that right now.
Sure.
That's where I'll step back and let y'all go again, but I had to shoot that shit in there by the way we were talking. This dude is going to be Mac Jones, and if we give up all this capital to move up to get him, it's going to hurt us. Because he's not going to be better than Sam Darnold.
No, sorry. I hope that if they move up, that it's not going to be him. Because I'm with you. I'm not sold on the guy. And especially to move up that far and trade that much. Another thing that I feel like could happen, because there's certainly a chance that Penix can slip their first two picks. Or even if they take 11. So say they take 11 and we need cornerback. And I know that there's Vikings fans out there rolling their eyes right now. Like cornerback in the first round again. Oh my goodness. No, thank you. But there's three solid cornerbacks. You got Quinyon Mitchell, you got Terry.
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean out of Iowa there. All three of those guys are solid grabs that you could take. And Cooper DeJean doubles as a really, really good punt returner. So,
and he can play safety too.
He is a Swiss Army knife on that secondary, and you can
Luke
throw him as a sub there. You can throw him as a gunner. Like he's a great, great player. So you take one of those guys at 11, and then you could either use that 23rd pick for probably a defensive tackle or something, or you can trade back. You can get back into the second round and pray to God that Michael Penix makes it. Or you just take Michael Penix at 23.
Yeah, just be you get the fifth option, you get the fifth-year option, then you're done with it. You make everybody happy. I guarantee you all of us here talking are going to be happy if they did something like that. And then
I'll
you're
be
done
super
with
sad.
It.
Yeah, it's just,
you're
crazy to me.
Fight Kyle.
It's crazy to me, like, I don't know, just watching Michael Penix play and, like, listening to the local media here, and the local media is just, oh, Drake May, oh, J.J. McCarthy. It's like, dude, like, if you watch – like Michael Penix play, he's kind of like Kirk Cousins. He's great in the pocket. He throws like down the field accurately. He throws with anticipation. He's great at like, he's got a good processor. He goes through his reads. It's just, I just don't know why they don't, how they don't see the fit like him with this offense. Like,
no, I'm
honestly,
totally with you on that.
If he didn't have the injury history that he had, he's probably QB3, and like it's just crazy to me how he's getting slept on, and I think a lot of it has to do with his injuries, and he hasn't been injured for like 2 years. So,
yep.
Jed, I got one other thing real
before about that.
Fast, I want to ask you one real quick question, and then I'm done.
Go for it.
With the that, you know, the whole Penix talk, how Elijah was just talking about the media is got just seeming to have the weirdest perception on him. A lot of what I've heard is everyone goes, ah, well, he had a bad national championship. One, it was a defensive type game, it seemed like. And two, I don't think J.J. McCarthy had that great of a national championship either, but he's put on this pedestal because Michigan won and Washington didn't, it seems like. Is this like in your kind of bubble? Is that kind of the same discussion, or is it just, you know, are we on an outside limb with it?
I don't see a lot of discussion about just like the national championship. Here's the thing with J.J. McCarthy is the guy has had all of the talent in the world wrapped around him his college career. Like, the guy had the amazing defense, incredible running back, great receivers, great block. Like, he's had everything going for him. And that's something that kind of worries me about if you were to bring him in the NFL. And the Vikings have a solid team around him, but like, they're not the cream of the crop. There's better teams out there, better rosters. Like, how's he going to handle that kind of a environment where he doesn't have the best people around him? He does have some holes. There's some holes in that offensive line. Those guards, we have grown accustomed as Vikings fans to be used to having a horrible interior offensive line. And that is what's going to happen again this year. So it'd be interesting to see him in that kind of an environment where everything is not perfect. Whether or not he can handle that, I don't know, just because we haven't seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whose question it is, Ryan.
It's yours, because I went on my damn tirade like I always do. You know, we can't have a Vikings conversation where I don't freak out. You know how it goes.
You're all good, brother. I'm going to ask my next question based upon Ryan.
Your question? My question?
My question. Ryan couple weeks ago talked about with me and Elijah off air, if they stay put at 11 and Roma Dunze falls, do you just grab Roma Dunze and just rock three of probably the great Ooh. Best young wide receivers in the league and just fill in the quarterback like at 23 with Penix, like we were saying, or whatever the case may be?
I love that idea. I love Roma Dunze. I'm totally sold on him. I love his story. He's got a great story. If you have not watched the story behind that guy or listened to it, every single person listening to this right now has got to do that. Dude, he's not had it easy. That's a tough kid right there. And I love the guy. I would be super happy if he made it to 11 and the Vikings were sitting there and they grabbed him, and then Penix is still there. You pair up those two that were paired up in college. They've been together already, and they are a great duo. That would be incredible to see on the Vikings. They don't have to change colors. They're still purple.
Yeah, like, imagine Justin Jefferson outside, Jordan Addison in the slot, Adunze as your X receiver on the outside, and T.J. Hockenson. Like, oh my God!
We didn't have Aaron Jones either.
No.
Yeah. Right. Now we have a running back that's worth something now. Like, if we can get that running game going, that's a freaking scary offense, man.
Oh my God! Matt,
in this brochure, it says this tour is crunk. What does that mean?
Oh my God, guys! It's going down. It's going down at the U.S. Bank, baby. God bless. I'm sorry.
So my question, I have another question. Like, honestly, like, what do you think the Vikings are gonna do realistically? Like, what is your gut feeling telling you?
My gut tells me that they're gonna use 11 and 23. There's a reason they traded for 23 today. I think they're gonna use 11 and 23, and they're gonna bump up to 4 or 5, and they'll grab whichever one of those top four quarterbacks are left. That's my gut.
I think that's the consensus body blow that we've all taken to, where we're like, ah. But here's the thing. I'll say this, and I've kind of said this to you before, Elijah. I was the same way that I am on J.J. McCarthy that I was on Justin Herbert. And I admit I was wrong about Justin Herbert. Maybe I'm wrong on McCarthy. You never know, right? I guess the only thing we could do at that point is if they take him, it's not Bo Nix, and we support it.
Yeah,
100%. I will support any quarterback that the Vikings take. I might not 100%. If they take Bo Nix, I'll be pretty freaking sad. But I'll support him. He's my quarterback, and I hope that he does well.
I want my boy Joe Milton, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's who Luke's got a high on.
Well,
you love Joe Milton.
I do. Elijah wants Spencer Rattler.
I like Rattler
if they go the late, because that dude does have some arm talent. And
I wouldn't touch Spencer Rattler with a 50-foot pole.
I wouldn't touch Spencer Rattler with Drake May.
He's the next like Johnny Manziel, just not as much draft capital invested.
And he has his person. I've seen videos of that guy. His personality sucks. He's a terrible locker room guy.
What did you say the other day? I think you said it, Luke. That what? Caleb Williams is gonna Johnny Manziel his way out of the league with this.
Yeah, I mean, if Caleb Williams doesn't calm down, that bro's not gonna have a job.
I'm looking at these Joe Milton highlights on X, as it's called. Man, you might have something. This kid looks good, man.
That's my boy Joe Milton.
He's got no accuracy. Like, he's probably got the strongest arm like we've ever seen, but no accuracy.
You know who else they said had no accuracy at the big arm? Josh Allen.
Yeah, but Josh Allen, like, I don't know.
No,
like,
I'm with you, though. I'm not sold on Joe Milton either.
Joe Milton's out here doing backflips. Come on. He's a luchador.
Oh, Lord. Well, like, overall, I'm happy with what the Vikings offseason has been. Like, so 100%. Far, and I'm like, I have a lot more confidence in like leadership and like the decision makers, like a lot more now, because I don't know, I feel like they got the free agents they needed to get, and they're being aggressive, like by getting another first round pick. And like, as much as I loved Kirk Cousins and thought he was a really good quarterback who is very undervalued and underappreciated, I just 180 mil with 100 million guaranteed. Like, we just, Vikings weren't in the spot to do that. Like, I can see Atlanta being able to do that more because they honestly have more young talent like that is going to be there. The Vikings is everybody's kind of starting to age out, and it's like, we need to like start to rebuild. So I'm not mad at Kirk for getting his money, but We just couldn't do it.
Hopefully we get that pick from that tampering, bro. That number 8 pick, bro.
I got to ask you about that real quick. Jared, we had a caller that wanted to ask you a question, if you don't mind taking a caller question for us.
For sure.
All right, bring it on. 973, go ahead with that question.
Thank you, yes. Yeah, I was comparing, of course, over the last couple of seasons with the Vikings, how, you know, they went like 14-3 in the 2022 season, but then faltered, you know, last season, because I was hoping they were going to, you know, build on that, but they just seemed to fall, you know, just seemed to fall flat. So what steps they need to do to repeat, you know, from their almighty fall from last season?
I'd say between the 2022 and 2023 seasons, they had everything go in their favor in 2022. And not to say that, like, luck is a huge factor, but they were winning those one-score games. They were able to pull those off. They were losing by one score almost every single game last year, you know? So I think it's just I feel like we got ourselves behind in bad spots a lot where we were battling back. And, it's tough to say with that just because everything went right. And it's not really a measurable thing. You know, like they call it like a luck stat and there's a metric for it. I don't know how much I buy it, but when certain little things go your way, they measure that kind of stuff. So they just need tiny things going their way throughout the games. And that's what happened in 22. It's not what happened last year. Another thing, we battled injuries last year. We lost TJ Hockenson, Kirk Cousins, our starting quarterback. We were on a roll with him when he got hurt. I still stand by that we would have won our division if he stayed healthy. That I 100% believe that. It was just not the same kind of season where and granted we did it, our defense turned it around, but then our offense kind of just fell off. And it's a funny little thing where there's not really a good explanation for it. It just things weren't going the right way. And I'm sorry, it's probably not a very good answer to that, but it's hard to answer that question just because it's just small things. It's tiny things that and I think Kevin O'Connell, I think, was doing a lot of really kind of dumb plays, I'll say, last year, where he was trying to do these goofy little tricky things, and it never, ever worked. And those kinds of things were working for them in 22, and they weren't doing as much of it. They were just playing football.
Yeah. I also think, too, like – turnovers, man. Like, did we set the record for like most turnovers? I swear, like,
probably fumbles. I bet the fumbles were insane at the beginning of the season, and that's why we lost all those games. That's a great point. Yeah, all those fumbles that we had throughout the first 5-6 games, it was insane, unheard of. I honestly think that might have been a record for the fumbles lost in the first 6 games of a season, because it was insane, and we lost those games because of it.
Yeah, 34 turnovers last year, the second most in the NFL behind Cleveland, who had 37. We had 19 picks, 15 fumbles. And those picks were not Cousins.
Talented to do that.
Cousins left, and we just started giving the ball to other teams.
Well, yep.
I mean, we go down the field, and just throw it to the wrong team. It's like a bad comedy movie.
Yeah, no, it was ugly. I mean, Nick Mullins, he gave me nightmares. That guy, it seemed like he was passing to just whoever was on the field. He didn't care what color they were wearing.
Nick Mullins, like, that guy thinks he's got, like, the strongest arm in the league.
Oh, yeah.
But he really has a pretty – I haven't seen as many, like, wounded ducks since Christian Ponder was playing.
You guys remember in the movie Sandlot when Smalls throws the ball for the first time from the outfield and it goes like 8 feet in front of him? You watch those moments and it's like, oh, yeah. God.
Like, if he wasn't like a YOLO quarterback, he probably would be pretty good. Because,
if he had Winston's arm, you could be a YOLO quarterback.
Yeah, like if he played more like Brock Purdy, where he just kind of took what defenses gave him and got the ball out quick.
Just be a game manager.
Yeah,
yeah, like he would be pretty good because sometimes he can get the ball down the field, but man, he just, I don't, sometimes he's just like, I can fit the ball into this space and I can throw it down the field. Yeah. And then he's like, yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
And I thought Josh Dobbs was doing pretty good. And then apparently he ran into Kevin Garnett, who thought he was Charlie Villanueva or something, because his confidence was gone after that.
Yeah.
That's one thing I didn't like about Kevin O'Connell last year is he did not – they traded for Josh Dobbs knowing, like, what they were getting, and he did not really change his game plan or offense around to try and work to Josh Dobbs' strength. Yeah,
he was
like,
begging for him to just let him be mobile, let him move. The guy's fast. He's a great runner. And granted, that's not like an ideal thing for a quarterback, but that's the situation where you're in, where those first two games he was using his legs, and he's not that great of a passer, so you got to get him moving more. And then after that, he turned him into like a – he turned him into Kirk Cousins, and he's not Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, so – but
– No, I'm excited. There's a lot of optimism, I think.
For sure.
I think we're in a good spot. We just kind of hope it goes well. That's kind of what we got to do. Appreciate the call. I have no idea who that was. 973 from Jersey was calling. We got Jersey Vikings fans coming at you. It's Tommy DeVito's agent.
Tony Soprano.
Tommy DeVito's agent was calling, asking what our quarterback situation was like. Playing golf out there, cement shoes and all. Jared, though, man, I totally appreciate you coming on. And as always, as we get closer, the Wednesday before the draft, if you're not busy, love to have you come on and draft at 11-23 for the Vikings on our annual on-air mock draft, because I feel like you will be on our side of the draft as we listen.
100%.
What, once again, is his X, his Twitter, whatever you want to call it, in the show notes. If you're watching online, or you know, if you're listening on Spotify or whatever, that's where it'll be. Appreciate having you on, man. You're always a pleasure. Been a pleasure over the years, and you know, you always pop all the good knowledge off. And I can't wait to talk more after the draft in depth with this team.
For sure. Can I do one quick shout out?
Hell yeah, you can do whatever you want, man. The floor is yours.
Cool. I give a shout out. One of my good buddies passed away last month. Diehard Vikings, diehard Twins fan. Absolute the biggest fan, Seth Malinsky. I love you, man. I miss you a lot. Going to miss hunting with you. So I just want to give that shout out to him. He's a great, great guy. So I want to throw that out for him.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Appreciate it, man. We'll be
awesome.
In touch soon. And as always, man, great stuff. And follow this man. I stand by it, damn it. You will enjoy his reads.
I won't disappoint you.
Mm-mm, never. Thanks awesome. Again, sir. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks.
Jared Abarsness.
Bro, did you look at your Discord?
I like that idea, actually.
You should I tweet him?
Maybe. Maybe. Elijah, did you see what he wrote? That's
No, I didn't. I'll check it. You know what another thing we should have brought up to him was? Like, I know it's a rumor, but it's not like a very feasible rumor, but now like people are saying like what if the Vikings traded their picks, to the Charge or their whatever pick to the Chargers. No, just listen. Like,
I know, I'm just kidding.
What if the Vikings called the Chargers and were like, "Hey, Jim Harbaugh, we know you love J.J. McCarthy. Like, let us get you into position to draft J.J. McCarthy. We'll give you our picks and we can get Justin Herbert." Like,
I would
do that over drafting Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. Like,
I would do that over Fields even.
Me too.
Yeah.
And
but,
you know that I've been all about Fields, as I said.
But, yeah, so that's like another funny rumor we probably could have brought up to him, but probably not going to happen. But.
So I got this just from – I can say the name. I If I could say somebody that when we were on the Daniel Jeremiah call, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So Zach Gelb from Move the Sticks thinks that the Patriots are taking a QB at number three no matter what. Apparently, Drake May is absolutely still in play for the Commanders. And they also think that Washington is more likely to listen to the Vikings in a draft trade than New England's going to be. This was all on the Zach Gelb show on CBS today with Daniel Jeremiah when he was on there. Somebody tweeted out, or Moore came out with it, some narrative busting for Vikings Twitter right now from Daniel Jeremiah. As I stated today, I think the Vikings will end up packaging 11-23 for four. Makes the most sense for the Cardinals to want picks this year, too. That's interesting. So then this just came out, too. My speculation, Vikings have handshake deal with the Cardinals for four and got the second first-round pick at their request. Their GM and head coach are very friendly with the Vikings org and good trade partners. Currently exploring a trade up to two or three, but I think the chances are low of that happening. I see no compelling reason why either team would pass up on the opportunity for a franchise quarterback despite the desires of Vikings Twitter. We'll see who will still be left, but I bet the Vikings hope it's May or J.J. McCarthy. I know May is the favorite, but J.J. fits the KOC offense like a glove.
Well, at least, I don't know, man.
So I don't know.
I don't know either.
So that throws me for a loop, because if Arizona's doing that, well, what the hell's happening with Marvin Harrison? Is he gonna fall to the Chargers in at five?
Yep, he sure is, brother.
Could you imagine if Jim Harbaugh lucks into Marvin Harrison Jr., is that why he was so cool getting rid of Keenan?
And Mike Williams.
Yeah, possibly.
So I think things might have just kind of twisted a little bit here
as we end
the show tonight. Wow.
I mean, that would be cool if the Vikings could get to four and the Patriots take Drake May, and then the Vikings are like, well, it looks like we got to take Daniels.
So the other thing I could see is this basically is saying that Caleb Williams is going one. We could see Daniels or May at two, the other going three. And for some reason, we're trying to jump the Chargers at five to get to four to take McCarthy.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope Daniels could slide to four. That would be nice.
I don't think we're trying to jump the Chargers, Ryan. I think we're trying to jump the Giants. But if Harrison's there at five, there's no way, you know what I mean? There's no way that the Chargers don't take him. So I think we're trying to jump the Giants in that scenario with the thought that the Chargers will never trade back if Harrison's sitting there.
And then the Cardinals will just be able to take a Dunze
or
somebody like that. And then they're also going to have 27 and they'll have 23. So they'll have three first rounders.
Jeez.
They need it.
I mean, but look at what this new GM, you know, they got rid of my guy Cliff Kingsbury. They got rid of Sean Allen, I think his name was the GM. And then they kept Kyler and decided to do everything else. And that's how they got Paris Johnson, by moving down. And now they're adding picks. The new GM seems like he's moving. There's a lot of talk, too, that we didn't get into with that could come into play here. Even more interesting, though, with these Cardinals now and the receivers is if Hollywood Brown's going to go to Kansas City, like that's rumored.
I think
can they already afford or not? Oh, did he already sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can they really afford to not take Marvin? Man, this draft is so unpredictable.
I think the Cardinals are thinking that they can get probably two first-round wide receivers if they do that. You know what I mean? So, like, at 11, if this went through, they could look they could even look at, like, just best available player. Let's say Adunze is gone, but, you know, like, what Mitchell's there at corner, and they need a corner. And then at 23, like, take a shot on, like, a Brian Thomas. And then at 27, take a shot at the speedster Xavier Worthy or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mitchell.
No, it's Xavier Worthy ran the fast.
Oh, I thought Mitchell was the fast one.
Yeah, Adonai Mitchell is really fast, but Xavier Worthy's like the
fastest ever.
Yeah.
But, like, they both ran 4.3 or less.
Yeah.
God,
so.
Bless America. Yeah, I mean, man, there's a lot they could do.
The Vikings, I just feel like just to maximize what they get, keeping the two picks and just picking at the spots, like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't like that idea. Like, you're going to I don't like them giving up a bunch of, like, draft capital that they don't really have, like, in the future to, like, get a guy. Because then, say they get McCarthy or May or whatever, like, in a couple years, what are you going to have to build around that guy?
Yeah, because you don't have a pick next year now.
Yeah, and, like, you're probably going to end up then having to give up, like, Justin Jefferson or something to get some draft capital. I know they're going to have a ton of cap space, but I think having draft picks is better than having cap space.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, I don't know.
We're in a weird situation, man.
You're in a weird situation, man.
Such a dick.
You know who's still a free agent, by the way? Which I think is just blasphemy.
Who?
Chase Young.
He's still a free agent? Wow.
Yeah, he hasn't signed with anyone.
That's wild.
Maybe people have soured on him because of his injury and then, like, his injuries, and then he didn't do a ton with San Fran. Maybe people are kind of like, we're going to wait this out and see if we really can't drive his value down. But, yeah, it is very surprising that he's still a free agent because he's still young.
I'd like to see the Vikings get one more offensive lineman, too.
Replace Garrett. They got to try and sign. Like, are they going to try and sign Reisner? Like, what's going on with that?
I don't think they're going to sign him, because if they don't sign him, they get a third-round pick next year for him.
Oh.
Vikings signed Dan Feeney.
Yep, I saw that.
Dan Feeney?
The old Jets guard, mm-hmm. right? Jets and
yeah,
Bears,
we,
I think.
And we lost Austin Shottleman.
Yeah. Connor Williams is still out there from Dallas, the center.
Van Jefferson just went to Pittsburgh.
Who cares?
Well, yeah. Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Rams. That hurts my Stetson Bennett.
That's interesting, man. I'll give you seventh round pick right now for him, Doug.
Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Rams.
Yeah.
Steelers country.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo the greatest bridge quarterback in the world?
Michael Gallup got cut.
Oof.
I saw that one coming.
Leighton Van
Where's KJ Osborne going to sign?
Not at the Vikings, because we get a third-round pick for him next year, too, if he goes somewhere
else. I know.
Else.
And then we re-signed Powell and signed that dude I've never heard of.
I'm still shocked that the Titans came out of nowhere to sign Calvin Ridley like that.
I know, but think about this. If you want to hear something crazy, the Titans refused to pay a 24-year-old A.J. Brown less money than they wanted to sign a 30-year-old Calvin Ridley for.
Yeah. That
doesn't make sense.
Well, that's why Jordan's team sucks. Oh, my God. Russell Wilson delivers the message to the Steelers.
Oh, my God. If it's Steelers Nation, let's weld. I'm getting off, bro.
He said, hold on. What's up, Steeler Nation? Just signed, baby. Fired up for the black and gold. Here we go.
I'm kind of disappointed.
Me too. I thought
he'd
be more creative. I'm kind of upset
I thought he was going to say, let's What?
Let's weld.
Let's weld.
Steelers. Steelers country. Let's weld.
God, what a dork. I wish you would have said that.
Mr. Unlimited.
All right, y'all. We'll be back next week, Friday, 8 p.m., as we mentioned, as always. Where did that shit go? Next week, we'll have three more people on. Right now, confirmed, 9 p.m., Carlos Sanchez from blackandteal.com talking Jacksonville Jaguars. We love Carlos, one of our favorites the last few years. And another one. Man, Luke, you just hit the greatest hits albums. Lucas Mascherin from the Cowboys at 9:30. Great times with him. He's had me on their show before. You got one more home run for us. We'll have three. Luke?
We them boys.
Eight. Our third guest will probably be either Paul Pickens from the Dolphins.
Paul Pickens from Finn Fanatic.
Or I'm working with someone from Raising Zona for the Cardinals.
Yeah, no more Scott Allen. That's who we used to talk to, but he's not there anymore. The beans got to him.
Dang.
Lies to know what I'm talking about.
Pete, I've heard this story. So I know too.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
All right, y'all.
Yeah.
Next Friday. Appreciate all of our guests, Parker Hurley, Desmond Novak, Jared Marsness. I appreciate Tommy DeVito's agent calling, asking about the Vikings. Thought I'd bring it on. I was like, there's somebody from New Jersey calling the Vikings. We got to talk to them. So everyone else, I apologize I didn't take your call. We had a bunch of calls, and I just let them sit there. We had time for one, and I took the farthest away from Minnesota. So it is what it is. I'm off to the land of Xbox. If you guys want to join me, I'll be there playing some MLB The Show. What do you know? I got Johan Montana this year. Say goodbye, Luke.
Bye, y'all.
Oh, my. What the fuck was that?